Class is in session. Busted pencils fully. Let it education talk. Educated educators talking education. It is me, Dr. Tim Slecker. Yes, as Jacob and Johnny say, coming from the what appears to be I'm in the bathroom, at least what they're saying.
We just tease you, Tim.
It's not. Look, when's the last time you saw a bunch of belts hanging in the bathroom? Come on now.
Who brings clothing items into the bathroom with them at their home?
All right, look. Shampoo and conditioner.
You guys have bathrooms inside your house?
Well, okay, so the first thing to know, this isn't my bathroom, shampoo and conditioner, okay? No need for those products. So, or you're probably going, oh, well then, Tim, whose bathroom are you in? Never mind, I'm not. I'm
Tim,
in
Tim, is
special...
today's class in session your bathroom regiment? Are you running through? Are you going to run through for us your skincare regime?
No. I don't have a skincare regime, and I don't know if I could show you what's going on here. Hey, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board. We are here. We are, man, lots going on though, fellas, you know, and it's like, yeah, we say this every week. What in the world? But you know, Johnny, anybody paying attention to any news right now is, you know, really familiar with what's going on in California and Los Angeles, particularly, you know, how this is playing out. We're not going to, in Busted Pencils, do a news story telling you what happened. But these are these moments, Johnny, where we say, boy, what's it like to be a teacher when these dramatic moments happen, current events in our place? What do teachers do? How do they react? Now, we know this is summer for a lot of teachers, and they're not in the classroom right now, and they're probably going, thank goodness, because they know that this is an issue. But, Johnny, I've always come from the point of view, when things like this happen, it is time for teachers to address it with their students. That doesn't mean pontificate a position, but to educate, because we know that kids are coming into classrooms with ideas. They're watching the news with their parents. Their parents have ideas about what's happening. Their communities do. And so as a public school educator, what is it? What is our responsibility? And anytime I hear somebody say, your job is to shut up and teach math and reading, I'm like, whoa, hold on. We're going to teach math and reading. But this moment right now requires the ability of our best teaching efforts to kind of help students understand the moment with what's going on, what are the issues at stake. And Johnny, I'd say from our backgrounds too, as social studies teachers here, what's happening with civil unrest, there's actually a lot to teach here that comes directly out of the American civics curriculum that typically we talk about civics in the abstract. And these are moments where we can really kind of lay out some of the realities of, quote, the facts and the process and procedures we cover in civics education. Here's where we have a chance to say, okay, here's what's happening. What is it that we typically teach that has a direct application to what's going on in Los Angeles right now? So, Johnny, that's my best attempt to kind of introduce this topic from the standpoint of going, you know what? This is a teachable moment, and there are things here that we can really learn about without advocating political positions, which I know in today's world is the big fear of particularly a lot of teachers, to not be labeled as indoctrinating. That's my opening, Johnny.
Well, Tim, I think that's a good point. And you know what? I always had the lesson as a classroom teacher in our K-12 system. And then obviously as a social studies educator, I teach teachers how to teach social studies. And You know, so we practice this lesson all the time, regularly having conversations with our students about what's happening in the world. What's going on, right? And I always like to cue up that clip from Marvin Gaye, what's going on, right? We get it going, kind of get the mood and the vibe for just talking about what's happening in our worlds, right? What's popping, right? Either on a Monday morning when we get in, that's how we do homeroom, Tim, or on any day. And, you know, sometimes it's a sports team winning. Sometimes it's a major weather event. You know, we're going into summer and it gets dry in parts of our country and we have fires. And so we talk about those kinds of things in class and whatever's happening in the world, right? And sometimes, unfortunately, Tim, that's violent conflict anywhere. We recently had a series of shows, you know, not too long ago about teaching with what's happening in the Ukraine. You know, having to be a, you know, a teacher educator here where there's a large Ukrainian immigrant population and a lot of Ukrainian refugees in classrooms teaching about, you know, family members that are close to violent conflict. We've had great shows talking about what's happening in Gaza, right? And how to teach responsibly about violent conflict anywhere in the world. And my biggest thing, Tim, is I love that this is kind of the focal point of our class and session today is all great teachers listen to their students. So when you ask your students, especially as a social studies educator, you say, what's happening in your world? And they start talking and they start asking questions. And then I always cue up that sound bite from the Beastie Boys, right? Where'd you get your information from, boy? Right? So we talk about where we get our information from. And, you know, depending on the age group, we have a developmentally appropriate conversation about what's happening in the world. Almost always for younger learners, I would say like fifth and sixth grade lower and lower, we remind and we position ourselves as saying, hey, it's good that we talk about this because we may have seen some things on television. We may have heard some things on the radio, for, you know, less and less we're listening to radio, but, you know, may have overheard grown folks talking about stuff or saw it on TV. And or maybe TikToks or things that are showing what's happening, asking them, you know, what are they observing? What are they seeing? And then reminding them that there are adults around the world, especially in, we can relate it directly to things happening in Los Angeles this week, right? There are adults around the world, but especially in our regions, working around the clock for the most peaceful and to land on something that limits harm to folks, because we never lie as teachers, right? Especially kids are seeing TikToks of, you know, protests that were mostly peaceful, but reporting out where they have boiled over and inflammatory reactions from the federal government, right, on peaceful protests and then protests that escalate to what we might even consider not quite like war category, but violent conflict, right? And then I always bring it back in my classroom to, you know how we practice disagreeing with each other and how we really work on settling our differences and talking through things, that's because it gets harder when we're grown. But remember, kids, it's important for the adults in our community to be working around the clock to ensure all of our families' safeties, no matter who we are in our country. Now, that's us not lying to kids because they're seeing that there's some pretty big unrest and they have been seeing it. So this is not new, unfortunately, the kind of things that have boiled over in Los Angeles. If folks are listening and say, what are Tim and Johnny and Jacob talking about today? Well, you can probably click into any news media outlet, or I'm sure it's been talked about on civic media. I've heard it on some of the shows that I stream. But, you know, what's happening with the protests and the actions taken by Donald Trump and the federal government by you know, bringing the National Guard and then other forms of military into California against the will or request of the governor. And to my knowledge, at least in modern history as a social studies teacher, this is for the upper grades, I would dive into kind of the civics of this. This is relatively in modern times. I got to do some fact checking, which is also part of responsible teaching, why we're talking about this on the show, is because when we're talking about things, we want to make sure we're getting good sources and multiple perspectives. And I'm a pretty good source, but even then I fact check myself. So we'll fact check this, but at least in my experience and my knowledge of the political landscape of this country in recent history, this is unprecedented. Not that there is protest, peaceful protest and resistance that bubbles, I'll say boils over to, displays of violent conflict between people and then those in power. But unprecedented in the context of, at least as a kid growing up in Detroit, I had recent memory of oral history, and then we learned about it formally, of big kind of uprisings in our city, often referred to as the riots. And certainly LA folks and Southern Californians are not, too distant from that. In the 90s, remember, we had a big uprising around that. And then all of us during COVID in response to the murder of George Floyd. So we have these kinds of social unrests, these bubbling overs, that we have to be kind of certain about how we teach what's going on. Because this particular instance, I'm extra careful about, because to me, it's unprecedented. I've yet to experience in my lifetime against the will of a governor, right? And it's to my best knowledge that the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, called this purposefully inflammatory. Like, not only the ICE raids, and for folks, you can get good information about how these ICE raids escalated in Southern California and how they were met with mostly peaceful protests, but then civil disobedience that I would say we could categorize as more than peaceful protest. But in my concern, where I would talk about this with students probably sixth grade and up, is just asking about reviewing like the importance of state rights, the roles of our governors and our state legislators and representatives, the people we elect locally, right? In homeroom on Monday, we talked about democracy as a local form of decision making that helps both government and the people in that government, right? Us, we the people, be accountable and responsible to being stewards of democracy. Well, dissent is part of that civic responsibility, and that's not me condoning escalations to violent conflict, but saying it's unprecedented in my lifetime to have a governor, and probably most listeners, I'm going to fact check this because maybe way back in history this has occurred, but the California governor did not call this into action, the kinds of response that Trump has ordered into California. And that most certainly has to be escalating things and is important to talk about in terms of civics and what's going on in our world, because we have some really great lessons we've taught here on Busted Pencils. And one of those is we like to read Timothy Snyder, right? And Timothy Snyder has a snappy little text called On Tyranny, right? Or Tyranny. Remember, Tim, you helped me work with that pronunciation. On Tyranny, 20 lessons from the 20th century. And if we look to those lessons, right, it helps us to be better stewards of democracy, to be, dare I say, defenders of democracy, those who speak out against kinds of things we would believe to be infringements of not only human rights, but on the decency of democracy. And we talked about like Trump's beef with Harvard. I feel like this is indicative. It's more serious, but it's pretty indicative of a similar kind of like flex on California, and in particularly Southern California, and in particularly on a group of people who have high anxiety and a lot of fear around, around citizenship and ICE raids. And those are already delicate situations for state governments. I don't think there's a listener out there that's not in a state that is not trying to figure out, being those grown-ups I talked about, we tell the little people, grown-ups are working around the clock to do the best they can to ensure safety for all families, right? That's implied in a democracy. That's part of being in a free country. So, every state we have listeners in is grappling with that tension. How are we, working with our families and communities around the threats of these ICE raids and what's happening with deportations? So in particular, to overstep those state government lines is to me a really scary moment for democracy. I know we say that a lot on here. We talked about erosion of democracy, dismissal of the democratic process. And I'm not talking about Democrats and Republicans, but just those core values of democracy. Well, this time I know we've been through a lot of civil disobedience in this country. It's kind of a signifier of the free world. It's part of things. It can be scary. It certainly is dangerous. Any kind of violent conflict, there is no winner, right? And so I'm not condoning that. I'm also saying this one seems politically unprecedented and extra important to hear what kids are learning about. One, Tim, like you said, so that we can help be facilitators towards really good information. But two, so that we are not complicit in watching democracy go away. As that stuff is happening, as teachers, right? I know we talked, Tim, about not having political positions imposed, but we have them and we model them. And I think that's what you do, Tim, and I do, and Jacob, you do it too, here on Busted Pencils, is we're saying, we're here, we're listening, we're not closing our eyes and turning our heads away from this. It's ugly. But let's talk about it. Let's figure out how we can prevent these kinds of things from escalating to the level of violent conflict that they're at without ignoring what got us there. And there's some real breach in democratic process that has escalated to this.
Yeah, and that's it, is to really kind of peel this down to and saying, okay, what do we know about the law and the reality of what we're seeing happen here? Johnny, you say unprecedented for the president to, not essentially, but to openly and adamantly defy a governor in saying, no, I'm stepping in, you are out because you're not capable, and I'm sending in troops. And somebody would say, I could remember one of my fifth graders saying, well, you know, he's the president, he's in charge, he's allowed to make that decision. And you go, okay, wait, let's really unpack that aloud. Now, whether somebody does something or not, but is the president allowed to send in federal troops to a state to enforce the laws inside of the United States using the federal military to enforce the laws of the state? And the answer is no, except in incredibly extraordinary circumstances where the president, under feeling threat that the state or something is being taken over, then they can call this up. And to look at this and say, is that what's happening? Should the president have stepped in, or did the president go against what the law says should be the process here? And Jacob, I'm just thinking about you, you know, being back. What do you, not, I mean, no, don't worry, I'm not going to, but what do you remember about social studies teaching and hearing about the powers of the president versus a state government and things like this? You're a little bit closer to when teachers were, you know, trying to put this across to you.
Yeah. Tim, thinking about it, when I was in middle school or high school taking civics classes or social studies classes, I thought it was complete bunk, Tim, that the president should have to deal with all these levels of things, and this is why nothing can get done in this country, because we can't, you know, it's all the power sharing. And, you know, I was a young, fired up little socialist in high school saying, why can't Bernie just come in and give us all that stuff that I want? Because it's right. This is what should be done. It's right. Why can't the president just make it happen? And then I turned 17 and realized, well, wait a minute. I matured more than most Americans did when I turned about 17. I said, well, if I have that power, then the other guy has that power when he's in charge. And wouldn't it be better if instead of having those powers, we divided it a bit and said, well, there's some checks and balances, and the minorities still have their rights, even if they're outvoted. You don't just, you know, it's not tyranny of the majority. So, yeah, I think that Americans in general could use more of a civics lesson and could spend some more time reflecting on why some very smart people, the founding fathers, and not just them, the Enlightenment thinkers that they learned from, that they read, and all these ideas they absorbed, why did we set things up the way we did? I think a lot of people could stand to learn why, not just what.
Yeah. And Jacob, thank you. Because, you know, listening today, and this reminds me, takes me back to, again, teaching fifth grade, the American history curriculum we taught. And Jacob, you talking about the founding fathers. One of the biggest fears that came out of the lead up to the American Revolution was the imposition of the British military to enforce the civic laws that were in place in the colonies. And in direct, you know, kind of saying, we're not going to do that when we have our own country, we made the ability of a federal executive, in this case, our president, to be able to deploy the national federal military to be, as I said, you listen to any legal scholar, under only extraordinary circumstances. And I guess that's maybe where you can kind of go, well, is what's happening in Los Angeles right now extraordinary circumstances, or is this civil disobedience that across different places, whilst it is peaceful here, over here it's a little bit rough, over there it may be even slightly violent, but is it out of the hands of local law enforcement, the LAPD, the California State Patrol, to take care of what needs to be taken care of to make sure that they can keep things relatively safe? And I think that's what we're hearing right now. And so as teachers, we're thinking of this moment, let's remember that there are always things from the past that can help us illustrate this kind of time that's in front of us. And so, yeah, here we, you know, the American Revolution, the Redcoats were sent in to enforce the Tax Act, the T, all those things. Hey, and guess what? You know, and I know this sounds kind of, you know, like trivial, Rahoo, you love America. But you know what? We learn from this. And guess what? That really tried to stay and say a real fear of overarching, overreaching, overmeddling, single power in one branch of the government, and being absolutely critical of saying that should never happen and only in extreme circumstances. So the question here, Johnny, as we're coming up on the end of, you know, this class is in session, is do we have extreme circumstances or not?
I will say, really matter of fact, I think circumstances were made to be more extreme and inflammatory than likely necessary. And if I was, you know, structuring some learning around this, which I would do with my students, remember, you said really eloquently, Tim, at the beginning of the show, no good teacher indoctrinates, but great teachers follow inquiry, right? And we foster that in our students. So I would structure that around four main things to close us out, right? I would say, I would ask, okay, we're talking about this, when and what happened? And I would say first category is recognizing and acknowledging and getting good information and multiple perspectives on that protesters clashed with police and troops on Sunday in Los Angeles. Those particular peaceful protests that escalated, right, emerged out of response to ICE raids in their communities, right? In particular, you can get information about maps and locations and where and how, but they raised kind of human rights alarms in our communities. And so there was, you know, protesters that clashed with police. The other point, then the second thing I would kind of ask for us to do some inquiry around is, so then what happened? Well, Donald Trump, which we can say questionably where he gets his information from, he's the president of the United States. He should be really having direct access to the most trustworthy information. However, that's been skeptical with social media and, you know, digital information sharing age. So I think really quickly, you know, Trump warned more troops would come, and around 300 California National Guard troops were deployed at three sites around Los Angeles. So let's learn about how that happened, which Tim brings up that third thing, how local authorities, so the mayor of Los Angeles, the governor of California, pushed back on Trump rather explicitly and hard, right? The mayor said that she believed, right, that these raids are now the federalization of troops to come into Los Angeles is an intentional effort to sow chaos in a city that's a tinderbox, right? So there's local elected people in power, a mayor and a governor, who says, we know what we're dealing with. Follow the traditional chain of command. And if we need that help, let's work to you. Now, they both also acknowledge, so let's just say at, in our line of inquiry, right, that they are feeling that there's collaboration between the deployed National Guard in California and those powers. So the National Guard is operating traditionally how National Guards do, even though it wasn't Gavin Newsom and the mayor who deployed them, right? That's a little bit of the why I said this to me is unprecedented and important to talk about. And then the fourth thing, as always, where I kind of culminate in good teaching. So what do we do now, right? So how do we pay attention to this in hopes that it doesn't set the stage for more clashes, right? And the kind of language that's used to talk about this and report on it is incredibly important, because you have some sources calling it riots. In fact, we have the Trump administration referring it to it to third world lawlessness, which technically is not accurate, right? But it is a little bit scary. So I want to acknowledge that point and say, as we're digesting information all around the country, especially in our classrooms, because some schools and many schools are still in class for a few weeks, but as we digest information, that we do it with a careful lens and a commitment to democracy and to settling disputes in generative ways, not inflammatory ways.
Man, loving that, but you know, now it's time for your moment of zen. If those in charge of our society, politicians, corporate executives, and owners of press and television and social media can dominate our ideas, they will be secure in their power. They will not need soldiers patrolling the streets. We will control ourselves.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Class in Session. You can always grab great podcasts like this one. Just search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, you can always find us on the Civic Media website or at bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't forget to find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with homerooms, classes in session, and always loads of fun to wrap up the work week on Fridays with producer Jacob's Choice. And listen up, pencil busters. You can always catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.